I'd like to invite the kids to come on up with me this morning. Would you come forward? I have a question for you that you don't get to answer because I know you already know. What color do you see when you look around the sanctuary? Not so much at the people. What color do you see the most right now? Yeah. Purple. Does anybody know why? So much purple. Any ideas? Purple is a popular color. Is anybody here's favorite color purple? At least one. Purple was a very expensive color. In fact, there were rules that said only royalty could have purple. That is how important a color it was. Why do you suppose it's an important color for the church? Yes. Because God's royal. I like that. Caleb, why else? Why do we have purple out right now?
Because it symbolizes Lent.
Symbolizes Lent. We are in a season of the year. So there are spring, fall, summer, and winter. But the church has seasons too. And we talk about Epiphany. We talk about Advent. We talk about Christmas. We talk about Easter. And Lent is one of the seasons. Yes, ma'am. Some people... You're right. There are a lot of people who give up something for Lent. So Lent is a season of the church year. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we mark 40 days... plus Sundays, congregation, if you've by any chance been doing the counting and figured out it's not exactly 40 days. 40 days plus Sundays before Easter, we mark as the beginning of the season of Lent. So the season of Lent is the time before Easter where we start paying attention to what Jesus did for us on Good Friday and on Easter morning. And so it's a season. Purple means, in the church, purple means not just royal, but it also means preparation. Does anybody know what that word means? What does it mean to prepare for something? Mm-hmm. If you're having a party, you make preparations. So what does prepare mean? Do you have any idea? Yeah.
Yep. To get ready.
To get ready. So when we get ready for Good Friday and Easter, we get ready to pay attention to what Jesus did for us. And so Lent is a season where a lot of people give something up that's important to them or that they like sugar or bread. Or there was the year my sister gave up coffee. It was ugly. But sometimes people give up TV. Or Facebook. Sometimes they give up little things. Sometimes people add things. People add things during Lent. They add a special time of prayer in their lives. The whole idea of Lent is a time to get our hearts ready to notice what Jesus did for us. So you don't have to give up something. You don't have to take on something. It's an encouraged thing, just so that every time you do that thing or every time you don't get that thing, you remember what Jesus did for us, which is that Jesus was willing to die to forgive our sins, which is amazing. Jesus was willing to die so that we would know that God loves each and every one of us. And that is why we celebrate Easter. And that's why we prepare our hearts for Lent. Let me pray, and then I'm going to send you guys off to Sunday school. Jesus, thank you for preparing our hearts. Thank you for loving us so much that you were even willing to die for us. Thank you for the gifts that you give us of love and hope and joy and peace. In your name we pray. Amen.
I was there before he was born. I was there when he died in such agony. I was there to watch him grow, to see who and what he was becoming. I was there to see him leave home and head out to tell of his Father's kingdom. I was there as people accepted him and as they rejected him. I was there as his mother. I was always there. Maybe not always where everyone could see me, but I was always there to support my son. When he was only a week old, Joseph and I took him to the temple to dedicate him. While we were there, an old man came up to us and began telling us about our son. By this point, you wouldn't think I would be surprised anymore, would you? After the angel and the shepherds. But I was surprised. The old man said, "This child is destined for falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I didn't understand it all. I knew the joy of the birth of my baby, of holding him in my arms. I knew the fear of being a new mom, but I had no idea what he meant. How could my tiny baby be destined for so much, even if he was God's son? It is easy to forget, you see, as a mother. It is easy to forget that my Jesus didn't belong to me. He belonged to his Father. When the angel appeared and told me I would bear a son, I said, "Yes, let it be." But I had no idea what that meant.
Let it be with me according to your word. I think these are probably the bravest words ever uttered by a woman in all of Scripture. Mary had no idea what she was getting into, did she? She was willing to leap, however. She was willing to commit herself beyond what she could see or understand. Faith is like that, isn't it? Faith is giving your word to something that you do not fully comprehend. Faith is living into what you believe step by step, even if you can't quite see where the road ahead of you is going. Even if you're not 100% sure you're on the right path, faith is being willing to step into what is unknown. It's taking the next faithful step, even when you are not positive of where those steps are going to lead you. What leaps of faith have you taken in your life? When have you taken a leap not fully certain of the outcome? Did you know what you were getting into when you said, "I do," for those of you who have been married in your life? Could you have known everything there was to know on that day that you said, "Yes, absolutely, I give my word to this other person"? How about parenting? Did any of your children come with an instruction manual? And if so, can I borrow it, please? How about your career? Is the path you took the path that you knew you were going to take from the very beginning? Did it always go the way you thought it was going to go? How about those of you who have been on mission trips? Did what you thought you were going to do end up being the thing that you ended up doing? Or were there times that you were far more moved than you ever thought you were going to be? Were there times that you realized when you got home that what you had given was far less than what you have received? What other places have you served in your life? When you've gone to serve someone else, do you always get a game plan, a detailed outline of everything you're saying yes to? Have you always known everything you needed to know up front? Or have you taken a leap of faith? We are given opportunities to step out in faith in a multitude of different ways in our lives. Most of us find that our lives are not particularly predictable. Even when we have a plan, we often find that we do not foresee all of the possible outcomes. But when we are faithful, when we are willing to say yes to God, we are given opportunities to do the things that we never imagined we would or could do for ourselves. Things that we can only do if God goes with us. Being people of faith means trusting that we don't always have to have all of the answers. Faith means doing it scared sometimes. Saying yes to God, even when we don't fully know what we're saying yes to doing. This is Mary's story, isn't it? Mary said yes. Let it be with me according to your word. And then she trusted that God was going to fill in all of those blanks that she had no idea what was going to happen or how it was going to happen. Mary is someone who gets held up as a paragon of womanly virtue, doesn't she? What is the song, Gentle Mary, Meek and Mild? That's how we think of her. And maybe she was. But I think in order to be God's mother, you probably have to have a stubborn streak in you. I suspect that if you are going to be the mother of God, you have to have an inner toughness, a determination, and a faith that remains strong, even in the midst of doubt, even in the midst of not knowing, even in the midst of despair. You have to have the kind of faith that sticks to things, even if you can't see if it's going to get any better. Mary gave her word to the angel Gabriel. Let it be. Yes, I am willing. Mary only appears in a few more places after the story of Jesus' birth. We just get little glimpses of her throughout his life. And then again in the book of Acts, we see Mary every once in a while. But what is clear is that Mary's yes continued to echo throughout her son's life. She is named as a woman who stood at the foot of the cross. She is named as one of the women who headed to the tomb in at least one of the Gospels. She is one of the women who shares the story of the resurrection in the book of Acts. Like Mary, we are called to say yes to big things as a church and as individuals. We are called by God to step out in our faith, to say yes to what we know needs to be done, even if we don't fully understand it. We are called to say yes to God's call, even if we don't have the blueprint in front of us or the step-by-step instructions that make it all clear. We would prefer it the other way, wouldn't we? We would like a detailed plan, a list of duties, obligations. We don't like that little tagline that shows up at the bottom that says other duties as assigned. We much prefer not to have that. We often wait for God to make things just a little bit more clear. If I just understood it a little bit more, then I could say yes. We hold back. We weigh our options. Maybe I'll say yes. I think I just need a little bit more information. I have a few more questions. There are a couple of facts I want to establish before we say yes. As human beings, we want assurances. We have been known to demand assurances from God. if you want me to do this, God, then you're going to have to make it really clear. God, if you want me to say yes to this, you're going to have to show me. We've all done that. We've all said, if, then. Nobody gave Mary a detailed plan. Jesus did not come with an instruction manual. The best that she had was her faith and the support systems around her that had to have been vast. Like Mary, we don't get a detailed plan about our lives. The instruction manual that we do get is the Word of God, given to us in Scripture. The very best we have in terms of knowing is what comes from prayer and discernment and faith. We are called to step out in faith. We are called, like Mary, to give our word to things that are bigger than we are, to take risks for Jesus, to be willing to say yes, even if the path is not fully clear, or even if it makes us nervous. We are called to try things that might fail because they might not fail. We are called to risk ourselves, to share our hearts with each other, to give away God, even in the depths of our soul, to be willing to give away what we have in our hearts for the sake of the gospel. We are called to say yes to God, even when we do not fully understand everything that we're saying yes to. Mary said yes. Mary said yes, not knowing what would happen or how it would go. And she knew, by the way, that she was not qualified for this job that she had just taken. Because no teenager is qualified to be the mother of God's own son. I would venture to say most of us aren't qualified, no matter how many children you've helped to raise. There were years of learning for Mary. There were years of trying things and failing and learning again. It cannot have been easy to hold all of the words of the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and Simeon and Anna in tension with this child that she was raising. It had to have been overwhelming. She said yes, not knowing what was going to come. She stepped out in faith and trusted that God would make a way for her. You are called. We are called. In this season of Lent, we are invited to reflect and take stock and slow down and listen to God's call. We are invited to wonder, what are you being called to? Where do you need to say yes in your life right now? What might you need to let go of? What has been holding you down or holding you back? Where might you need to join Mary in saying, let it be according to your will? Let us pray. Gracious God, you invite us. You call us. You challenge us, and then you invite us again. And we confess that we would prefer more reassurance. We would prefer more knowledge, more plans, more details. And yet you invite us to keep saying yes to you. And so help us in this season to say yes to you, even if it means having the courage to say no in some other areas of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.